So, yeah, I guess I'll save all my questions for 5 seconds left when we are doing stuff.
Oh
You
man.
wanted to get fired up? Here you go.
I'm confused.
Do
So
it.
you would do that
Do
before
it.
radio shows?
So, yeah, so like at one point I was sitting around like it's just explaining to some of the guys on the staff on the radio show like how we used to like do smelling salts before the games, and then how like Ian Fitzsimmons, when I would see
Dude.
him at college football games, was always the plug for smelling salts on the sideline. He'd just like hand me one when we were down there at like the Natty,
Like a
and we just
trench
both.
coat full of smelling salts, and he just like opens up. You guys looking for
Well,
some salts?
it's pretty much, he'd just walk up to me, "Coach, you looking for one of these?" And then just hands me one of the little packets and just rifle one of those. And I'll go get
Oh, yeah. I don't know why you still have them. I still use this to get hype because I could use some. I know that when
Same.
I was playing, guys used to have like an empty like plastic soda bottle and crack a bunch of them and put it in there, tighten it up, shake it,
And then what?
and then before the game you pop that thing and hit that thing
Whoa.
hard.
Oh.
Did you have guys do
Hit
that?
that thing.
You had guys do that, Gojo, where they would put like a soda bottle full of
Oh,
stuff?
yeah.
Yeah,
Bro,
concentrate
like,
that thing.
Ryan Clark was the dope man in the Pittsburgh locker room with all that stuff. He had you ready on that. But no, yeah, it's the little water bottle, and you just
Yeah.
shake up like eight of them, like Afrin, and get a little bit of that in there. Open everything up, man. I've
What's
never
Afrin?
breathed.
I'm old the
Af Afrin's
pharmacology
like a
lesson.
prescription
Yeah.
nasal spray that like open like a like over the
Ooh,
counter allergy
I like
spray
that. I could use
that when you
that. Yeah.
combine it all together, you will never breathe that freely in your entire life.
Mm.
But this, so these smelling salts are a little different because
It's
it's like
called
loose. It's like,
What's the label? Hold the label up to the camera, please.
Oh.
It looks illegal.
Exclamation point.
It
Any
looks
product,
illegal.
Dominique, that looks pharmaceutical that has an exclamation point at the end of the name,
And
I'm very wary
clearly
of.
the label was not put on by machine. That looked like
No.
somebody with a jar of
Oh.
paste was like, "Pow, let's
Oh,
sell this."
Dominique, you're not gonna, because it's loose pebbles inside. So I bought this off a
Oh.
power lifter on Instagram
Oh
from a store.
My
God.
God, what a
That's
sentence.
illegal. Whatever you did was illegal. What you're doing right now is illegal. I would
But
like
like
everyone to know that I'm not a part of this.
it's
This
a
is
bunch of
watch
little
list
pellets.
behavior. Why does it
Oh.
look so clumpy?
Because it is
And why
clumpy.
do you have it? Like, what are you doing with it?
When's the last time you cracked that open, Gojo?
This one specifically is brand new. I have another one that I accidentally turned upside down and spilled all over in my cabinet one day. So I came home and like went to go get something out of
Just
it and
slapped you in the
almost got
face.
knocked out. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Because the last
So.
time I did this in earnest was before a radio show one day, and I felt like I got hit in the baseball bat in the back of the head. It went straight up one nostril and out the back of my head like a bullet exit wound.
So, are you going to hit it before we do the first question? Because
Yeah.
that's
All
the
right.
real
Can you
question.
smell it already? Like, I just, because
Yeah.
again, this is
Because
a
a
lot
couple of
of
the
like
pebbles got in my hand.
you walking us through what it feels like. You can smell it already. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
It's like you're holding it away from your body. It's already obvious that you're holding this.
What if
Yeah,
we
nope,
what
we're
if
good.
what if we stumbled
We're
onto
good.
the cure for
Oh.
coronavirus right now? We just stumbled
Oh,
onto
man.
it. Is that you gotta hit the smelling salts and then it'll crawl up in there and fight everything off. Gotta hit them salts.
Scare them,
Fake
scare
news.
those
I'm just
particles.
joking. People might actually try this. It's a joke. I'm just playing, guys.
Okay, we're good now. We're
What's the
good.
question? What
All
is
right, yes.
the
If could the question is, could I throw
question?
smelling salts at someone and it's kind of like sort of like a ninja weapon? Is that a thing?
I don't know, but we need Gojo to answer the first question on the heels of the smelling salts.
Off
All
the
right,
salts.
let's give it a go. First topic. How do you think the James Harden Nets 76ers entanglement plays out over the next few days?
You afraid
Gojo
of
looks
saying this
woozy, I'm
question
not
because
gonna
I'm
lie.
hopped up on this right now?
He looks a little woozy,
So
Dominique.
we're not gonna get a cogent breakdown. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, he looks frozen. Is everything okay?
Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm ready to rock
All
on
right,
this one, man.
go.
Talk
Give
to me.
us
Don't
is
let me
go
spin.
is Gojo Kojo is the question we're asking right now.
Am I ever Kojo is probably the real question here. And I think this thing probably plays out sadly in the most boring way possible, where nothing happens and we end up doing the sign and trade after the season. Like, That seems to be where all roads lead to right now, because I think everyone involved is so stubborn on both sides that they're not willing to part for what they believe is lesser value than they deserve. Both have the ability to convince themselves that they deserve more value than they practically actually do based on the corners one's painted themselves into with Ben Simmons and the other has painted themselves into by giving Kyrie Irving everything that he wants in every situation and then having Kevin Durant get hurt in a way they couldn't plan for.
So speaking of like huffing stuff, right? Like I just want to be very clear for everybody. The NBA is basically hotboxing itself with James Harden rumors right now, right? It's Monday of Super Bowl week. Yeah. All the NBA is doing is getting on group chats and leaking stuff and trying to position various details about this hypothetical deal in which James Harden becomes a Philadelphia 76er and question mark Ben Simmons goes to the Nets. So there was this report that just came out today from Woj that Daryl had made a call. Daryl, of course, is the president of basketball operations for the Sixers. Daryl Morey made a call to the Nets about a month ago in which he inquired about James Harden. Sean Marks reportedly flatly rejected any inquiries. But the thing that you have to wonder in all of this, right, is why are we hearing anything? So we're in the game of leak detective. We're in the game of what's everyone's motive here. And so this is what we know, Dominique, I'm pretty sure. James Harden wants out of Brooklyn, which is hilarious, by the way. Like, let's just take a second to remark on the fact that the whole Brooklyn experiment has already blown up in several ways. This is kind of the least expected, but simultaneously most predictable thing. And yes, Steve Nash is saying, I've talked to James. He wants to be here long term. But again, everything else in this car with the windows rolled up is smelling like James Harden wants all the way out of the vehicle.
I mean,
right?
What's the other argument for why this is surfacing? Like, I think I agree with you. Your argument is the most obvious, reasonable, rational one. So if you have Steve Nash there cornered and you're like, all right, yep. So where are all these leaks coming from? What's he going to say?
Right. No, Steve Nash is saying exactly what they should say. And the Nets, guys, like all they can say is we want James Harden, even while theoretically James Harden is releasing all of the smoke that indicates the opposite. Right. But they have to say because they're trying to preserve his trade value because he's an unrestricted free agent, in the offseason. Simultaneous to all of this, as Alabaster points out by Card, the Nets have lost 8 in a row. Yeah. Right. And there's no NBA champion who's ever existed who's had a 7-plus game losing streak. But what is the motive here is a great question, Dominique. Right. So James Harden wants out. The Nets want to say he doesn't want out.
I'm confused on two motives. Like if let's say that James Harden wants to stay. So yep. Who is motivated to put that out there? That confuses me. So I'm going to accept that he wants out. And that's a thing. The other motive is why Sean Marks want to keep him. Like, that's the more confusing part to me is we all recognize from the beginning of this experiment that while they're all great players and they probably can win a championship if they're all healthy, that they aren't actually a good fit. And it would seem to me that Ben Simmons is the one guy who's out there who is a perfect fit. Now, would the 76ers trade Ben Simmons within the conference to a team to make them stronger? Probably not, unless you can convince someone that James Harden is a perfect fit to them. And who else other than Daryl Morey might believe that James Harden is a perfect fit for them? I'm so enjoying your faces, Pablo. I don't want to stop talking because I just want to keep interpreting what you're saying with your face. Because if I am Brooklyn getting off of an older James Harden who's play is not what it once was to move to a younger Ben Simmons who doesn't want to shoot on a team that is already built around some pretty good shooters who can play some defense, facilitate, and do all that stuff. Like, it seems like a perfect fit. So if I'm Sean Marks, maybe I'm saying what I'm saying, but I'm really trying to say what I'm not saying to the people who are listening to what I'm saying.
That is elementary, my good man. Gojo.
A lot of words,
hearing
Gojo.
Hearing Dominique be excited about basketball trade rumors on a Monday of Super Bowl week is my smelling salt. What you've done, Dominique, is you sussed out, yes, a lot of the motive here, right? Sean Marks, I think, actually doesn't expect to keep James Harden, and he doesn't really want James Harden as much as he once did. That to me is evident based on everything we've seen this season. So yes, he is lying about wanting him and keeping him because he wants to goose the trade value. But the thing you just said about do you trade Ben Simmons, who for all the jokes, Gojo, and there are many jokes, I'm shocked Alabaster hasn't put down the photo of him passing up against the Hawks by now. But for all of the jokes, it's very clear to me, as Dominique said, that Ben Simmons is the perfect fit for the Brooklyn Nets and does fix what ails them in terms of fit. And so now the last player in this, because you know Ben Simmons wants out of there, however he can get out of there, is Daryl Morey. And here is the detail that we got to contemplate here, right? Does Daryl Morey want to solve the Brooklyn Nets' problems while he's in a division, which is going to have to beat the Brooklyn Nets? And the second key detail is that James Harden is about to be an unrestricted free agent, which means he can just walk. And so you brought it up, Gojo, at the beginning of the topic, right? My brain is moving so quick. Is this just a sign-in trade, or is there also some tampery behavior? Oh, hold on. I forgot I got the Super Michael done. Are they going to tamper? Are they going to tamper, guys? Because James Harden is represented by his mom and doesn't have an agent, allegedly. And so is he talking to Daryl Morey quietly about, hey, you don't even need to trade for me right now. I'm just going to go to you in the offseason, even though I'm going to be making, as you sussed out, Dominique, about $50 million at age 38.
I'm not sure that that would be a wise move, because my thought would be, the best possible scenario for the 76ers would to be able to get James Harden for this particular run and not be committed to James Harden long-term. Talk about a player like, I want to say this in a way that does not come off as offensive, but a player whose game you would suspect could age well because he has an old man game, but I'm not quite sure that he has what we would guess is the mentality that it will require for someone to play really well to earn the value of the contract that he is definitely going to receive from somebody. So I don't know that I want that. Like, making this run with James Harden sounds good. And I think the way Joel Embiid is playing right now, you add James Harden to that
MVP level.
I would like my chances if I'm the 76ers going up against whatever version of the Brooklyn Nets that they're going to see, or the Bucks, or whatever. I would not like my prospects as a team 2, 3, 4 years from now who is tied up into paying James Harden upwards of $50 million. And it's just Father Time. Some people can beat Father Time. James Harden's habits and history suggest that he's not going to be one of those people.
See, that is my favorite part of all of this, is through all of the different like wailing and gnashing of teeth that's gone on in Brooklyn about Kyrie Irving and all these things has kind of made us forget, because James Harden's become a somewhat sympathetic figure lost in the middle of this. Yeah. We all remember the articles and the things that were said after he left Houston about how Russell Westbrook was in there and didn't necessarily love the work habits that he saw from his counterpart, about how James Harden, to Dominique's point, has never struck us as that guy.
Chris Paul, similar concerns. Gojo, James Harden hates Father Time unless Father Time is the name of a strip club. That's totally fair to say.
What kind of strip club is that? That doesn't sound like a very good strip club. Like, what? Have you ever been to a strip club? Because it seems like you don't know how they name them. Or maybe this is a different type of strip club. Like, is this just like people who are into like old guys with saggy bodies? Like,
that feels like the one you'd find at the end of Bourbon Street, as opposed to like the front, the way they stack that up.
Oh, my Father Time. Who's going to a strip club named Father Time? You just had strip club in your mind, and you were like, I'm determined to make a James Harden strip club reference. Like, sometimes you don't have to run the play that's called. Just because it's there doesn't mean that it's a good play.
I don't think you want me to illustrate the mental image of what I think the Father Time strip club is like, Alabaster.
I want you to. Alabaster
It's very mature.
This is a lot of preseason basketball talk for a show that is obviously getting ready for the Super Bowl.
Stop harshing my high, Dominique.
Everyone Pablo knows. Really was high off your supply here, Dominique, because when you started going, I have never seen Pablo that joy-filled. Like, you're right. The strength of my smelling salts that have been steeping in the cabinet over there were no match for your takes intoxicating.
By the way,
Alabaster, I'm sorry we stepped all over you.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Alabaster. I was going to talk about matures, and you put a card down. You know,
honestly, for the best. Wasn't a good interjection. You guys ready to move on to Mike
Look
McDaniels?
At that. See that? You see that, Pablo? Wow, Did you see that? That was so impressive. It's so nice.
Wow. Speaking of maturity.
All right, moving on. Yeah, I mean,
what about Mother Earth? That sounds like a
Ooh. I mean, yes, very, very
don't like if stop the line's it. Too just long, let it go. Earth, let it go.
Walk down the street to Father Time.
Let it go.
He's gonna gesture.
I know.
For the,
I yeah, know. Very, I know what you're thinking. Very, don't say it.
Yeah. I feel like Father. I feel like Pablo walks into Father Time, going, "It's Father Time."
Oh, so you know what? Wait. I didn't think about that. The emphasis makes a world of difference.
Gojo, much like the label on your smelling salts, there's an exclamation point at the end of this name, and it changes everything.
Oh, man. Pablo, I think you're just one big callback. Like, you're just a walking callback. You only live for callbacks.
Now that we've got Father Time with the exclamation mark, it reminds me of, do you guys remember Discovery Zone coming
up? DZ, like, the place to be.
Like, this feels like if you took every defunct DZ that was, by the way, bought out by Chuck E. Cheese in 1998, if you took all of those defunct DZs and turned them into strip clubs, it now becomes Father Time, where you've got like a weird laser tag offshoot here. You've got all the different tunnels and tubes that you can climb through. Endless world of possibility at Father Time.
Yes, Father Time. Father Time. Definitely very different from Daddy Issues, although There is
that. All right, moving on. Okay, second question. Does the Dolphins hiring Mike McDaniel make sense to you?
Chris Rock would be so proud of that joke. He would appreciate it so much. And all the people who are old like me and get that reference, you're welcome. What's happening? We're talking about, okay, I Pablo,
it's reset.
Knock yourself out on this one, baby.
All right, so to call back to just the general like news that we've heard over the last week, right? Like, the Dolphins have been trying to hire a coach. The Dolphins. Oh, hold on. Let me get this. The Dolphins don't want to hire a white coach, I think. And so they had to figure out, hey, guys, how do we hire a white guy who isn't white? And it turns out there is one of those guys, and his name is Mike McDaniel.
All right, Pablo, I passed it to you because I thought you were going to handle this better than me, but you're not. You are handling it more poorly than I was doing.
Please take the wheel.
Pablo's defaulted to stealing the Sports Whisperer twice from the two guys in the show.
Yeah, they hired him.
Here's what we're going to do.
Or, I mean, they haven't officially, like, we haven't had a press conference and all that stuff yet, but they've agreed to terms, right? So we'll see what happens. I mean, I think it's a chess level move from Stephen Ross. Like, Stephen Ross has always been seemingly trying to cover whatever racial tracks that are out there by giving money to certain organizations while also doing things that were counterproductive to the stated purpose of the organizations that he's started or given money to. So that's why this hire feels interesting, because it does feel like Brian Flores' suit, his lawsuit, already working. Before lawsuit, no black coaches. After lawsuit, we get Lovie Smith and we get multiracial. That's what Mike McDaniel calls himself, right? We get a multiracial Mike McDaniel's hire. So pre-lawsuit, no black coaches. Post-lawsuit, all non-white coaches.
So Gojo, just to catch ourselves up on this, right? So Mike McDaniel's dad is black.
No S.
Mom, Mike McDaniel.
Oh, well, you said McDaniel.
I think he was doing S. Possessive.
My bad. Yeah. Sorry, that's on me.
It's going to be a thing, though.
McDaniel, parentheses S.
I'm like the person who jumps on people for saying Oakland. I hate that guy. I'm sorry for doing that. It's okay. Yeah, Josh McDaniels is the head coach of the Oakland Raiders, baby.
I'm going to need your dispensation as I try to describe what Mike McDaniel is, though, because Mike McDaniel's dad, Dominique, is good.
I will give you a warning rather than dispensation, because my dispensation cannot protect you from what I think you're about to do. So I'm just going to say, don't do it. I'll handle it.
I have things I want to say. I don't want to say them yet, Dominique, because I want Gojo to just introduce the character, I guess.
I'll introduce this guy.
Mike McDaniel is
a guy who, like, I think presents or comes across at first glance as a white person. So much so that Deadspin did a whole article about how he was receiving treatment that black coaches never receive. And then from that, we found out that I believe one of his grandparents is black and he considers himself multiracial because of that, multiracial or biracial, I think he calls himself.
Which multiracial is what the tweets have said.
Well, like, yeah. So and Andrew Hawkins tweeted out the picture from his wedding. I believe his father is black. So.
Yeah, that, based on the picture, Andrew Hawkins, his crack investigative team, like, shows all of this stuff.
The the now I don't know if they're still doing the Tomahawk podcast, but great journalism by them.
Yeah, they are.
But the point is that he is sort of. Gojo, as a football sense, and we'll get into like the whole like checking the box dynamic, which is what really makes this story so unbelievably juicy and also dangerous, is the fact that Mike McDaniel is like this offensive assistant wizard, right? He is from the 49ers. He was responsible by legend for a lot of what they do in their run game, apparently, right? Like, just explain to us why Mike McDaniel is a guy who people actually might be excited about.
Well, yeah, that's the weird part about all of this is given everything that we've said about background on this, this was a job that looked very radioactive from the outside, and they may have threaded the needle with a guy who was actually becoming a popular candidate. Now, most of that was because people found a bunch of his press conference clips and enjoyed Mike Jones jokes and all these other little quips from that. But
Dominic hated those jokes.
Dominic did not like those jokes.
I didn't. One, because it was forced. It was so forced. If you rewatch the clip, as I have done, because I'm a top-of-the-line journalist, the question comes in from Mike, and he yells, "Who?" Like, he clearly walked in there with the intention of doing this Mike Jones bit, whereas, like, the person, the interviewer didn't say Mike Jones, which is when you would be appropriate to say who, and then Mike Jones, the journalist asking the question, was noticeably annoyed by his response. He was like, I don't get this bit all the time. And it also, you gotta hit him with the phone number too. If you wanna impress me, show that you remember the phone number. Also, lastly, what type of marketing awards do they give out? Because Mike Jones, goodness gracious, does he deserve some award for that? This is the best marketing in the history. How you take such a boring name and make it into marketing that lasts across centuries. It's incredible.
I am going to lose my faculties, forget loved ones, family and friends, phone numbers here, emergency contact numbers. I'll probably forget 911 near my deathbed before I will forget 281-330-8004. Like,
exactly.
I'm going to be able to hit Mike Jones up on the low for a long time.
I was concerned that you were going to say four, but understand. That it must rhyme and it must be foe.
must be foe. Which, so again, I concede all that. Like, a lot of this happens to become like likability politics in the internet age where we get these fun clips. But from what you hear about him as a coach, he's the guy who's been with Kyle Shanahan longer than any other assistant going back to their time in Denver. He's been a guy who has been part of the architect, as Pablo mentioned, for a run game that's becoming increasingly more popular as that Shanahan and McVay tree spreads across the NFL. And just specifically for the Dolphins, in addition to getting someone who seems to understand the teacher role of these things and understand how the pieces fit together, what he does can potentially help the things that you do poorly on offense. Because you've got an accurate quarterback who needs things close to the line and in the middle, step right up. You've got that in this Kyle Shanahan-based offense. And you've got a scheme that wants to get people moving and running, do a lot of that bootleg stuff, all of which helps a very suspect offensive line that's struggling in drop-back pass protection. So those things covering up the holes and giving your quarterback the best possible chance to succeed in this big year for Tua is why, like, all of this could be, in a football sense, very exciting to people who might want to see the Dolphins not suck as much.
How could...
Well, I should say not suck as much on offense, trying to do drop back passing. They were a winning team the last 2 years.
Yep, yep,
he's getting
yep.
handed a winning roster. Like, I say on offense, protecting the quarterback in the way that they do.
How could racism manage to be so fruitful for a rich white guy, no matter what? Because, like, it seems like the reaction, it seemed like they were lining up the Harbaugh hire, is what it felt like to all of us. Then this happened, and they realized, we can't hire a white person. We must find a non-white person for this job. And then they end up with the absolute perfect hire for this situation. This gonna mess around and actually work for Stephen Ross. Like, we had to force his hand Like it Brian yes. Flores is still the best coach in for the Miami Dolphins, because even when he is not coaching the Dolphins, he's forcing them to do what is best for them. It's outrageous how this happens all the time. It appears that being a billionaire, really, things really do work out for you no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, so
this really does feel like the bottom rung of a galaxy brain thing right now.
It really does. It really does.
We have reached the bottom of
it. Just light is shooting out of the back of our head and our eyeballs and so forth. But part of that galaxy brain graph also has like what happens to the Niners here, because part of this Dominique, right? And again, Mike McDaniel like is a guy who does not look like a jock. He played, however, receiver at Yale for whatever that's worth. I consider it a thing. Like, he played college football. He's a college football player. Doesn't look like it, but okay, Dominique is unconvinced by that. But beyond
the podcast
that,
audience, he's shaking his head and
yeah, just vigorously, like dismissively. However, like in terms of what the Niners get in exchange, Dominique, because of how the Rooney Rule legislation has worked, is that now because the Dolphins have hired away Mike McDaniel, multiracial coach, they now get how many draft picks in compensation now? Because
I think it's 2/3, right?
Yes, yeah. I think that's right. Alabaster, please confirm. But yes, there is now this reward of 2/3. And so all of this raises the question, Dominique, which is like the dangerous and fun and juicy part, which is like, what are these rules doing? And what do we care about? Because there is the thing of like, not to go all race is a construct.
Yeah.
But honestly, right? Like race fundamentally, Dominique, seems to be like what we actually care about practically should be consequences and how you are treated. Like, that's kind of like what we all are kind of circling when we talk about this stuff. But this is a very definitionally box checky thing that right. is the system we have.
So the race, like the history of race in America, especially, or in the Western world in general, was like it was created in order to subjugate people. So like it is something that we exist under. It is something that is real, no matter what people say about it being like a construct or not. Like, so is money, but we treat it like yes. it's real. So like it's a real thing because we all believe it to be a real thing, and it affects the world in a way that that's real. So I do think that it's interesting. The idea behind the motive or behind rewarding teams for having their minority candidates taken is that maybe you'll fill your building with minority candidates, which will make it then easier for them to be hired away. It does, obviously, it's been brought up that it might be counterproductive because you don't want to give your rivals extra draft picks or whatever. But what it boils down to is I don't think any of it matters, because the decision makers believe that they have some magical decision-making power, and a third-round draft pick is not valuable enough. Like, think about it realistically. Like, if you believe that your ability to interview someone is better than someone is better than anyone else's, or if you just believe that you know what your job is right for, a third round draft pick is not worth hiring the wrong coach. So yep. like it has no impact either way. It's in if you believe, which they all do, that or you know that hiring is subjective. Like no matter what you say, it's subjective. Yep. And we all have to accept that subjectivity and objectivity, frankly, I think a lot of us are fearful of like calling out people for being like objectively like deciding to be racist on an individual level and not a systemic level. I think that either way, you're going to end up at the conclusion more often than not that this white guy is better for the job. It's a brainwashing that all of us, including minorities, have experienced throughout the history of this country. It's like we are all predisposed to see white men, frankly, as smarter and more powerful and better leaders. Literally. Like it's something that we experience, is we've been socialized to think that way. So being able to fight through that is something that I think minorities and women do regularly. White men tend not to fight through it because you know what? They're like, hey, this is me. So all of this stuff is the NFL trying to address issues that have plagued this country since its inception. It's unlikely that the NFL is ever going to solve it, but keep fighting the good fight.
Well, I mean, look, what I feel, I want to be very clear about this, right? Because yes, they are trying to make change in a very constrained way under a very constrained system when the issues obviously are like, galaxies bigger, as it were. But I do want to say that, like, I do feel for how strange it must be to, and uncomfortable and bad in many ways, it must be to be Mike McDaniel in this way right now, right? Like, it's not fun, right, to have your whole identity also become the butt of a joke, even while the reason why there is comedy in this is for reasons that are very not specific to Mike McDaniel, right? To me, what's so fascinating about this story is that it does speak to, like, well, you know, how we think about what race even is. And it's very, very, you know, strewn with minds, that conversational field, right? Like, what are we really talking about? Is it a matter of, like, hey, I have a 23 in me? Or is it a matter of, hey, here's how people treat me day to day?
I'm not going to do it, Pablo. I'm not going to do it. You are laying out all the breadcrumbs.
I said they were mines.
For the pre-show conversation that we had.
He didn't call them breadcrumbs. He called them mines appropriately. So he was warning you that something wicked this way comes.
I'm not going to do it.
It's a sociology course of a conversation. I fully agree.
Yeah, you go, Gojo. Get up in there. Get in the mix, baby.
Well, no, I was going to actually ask Alabaster because I forgot the rundown of the show here. If we're going to talk about Lovey's
We have Lovey next.
Because I think this is an interesting connection point, like a bit of connective tissue to this conversation about the way that we view all this. Because when I was talking, getting ready for the radio show and talking to Chris Canty about this, like the Lovey Smith hire, looking at what he's walking into, looking at the nature of that coaching search, and looking at what we think that team is actually going to be again, all of it smells a lot like last year. All of it smells like a situation that Lovey's not walking into where we believe he's got much of a chance for success. Some of that can certainly be of what people might think of Lovey Smith as a coach now based off what we saw recently at Illinois, what we saw as the success or lack thereof towards the end there. But the rest of it to me is situational, and it's this idea that we're going to see, as Dominique pointed out, after all of this happened with Stephen Ross, more coaches of color hired after that. Now, Lovey Smith being a black man that's getting a chance to coach for a third NFL team in his career. And people are going to look at that and say, well, see, you got what you wanted. And we can all, I think, look at that and say, the process that led to that point seemed flawed by the Houston Texans. And the situation he's walking into does not seem like a true earnest opportunity where success is a likely outcome, and especially a likely outcome for him, where we truly, do any of us believe, Lovey Smith will be allowed to stick around for the good parts of this based on the recent things that we've seen, which has been a part of this Brian Flores conversation. That's also at the heart of this, is are these genuine opportunities that are being given to black head coaches? Because that was something that, as we saw David Culley, Brian Flores being fired, and when Hugh Jackson got into the news cycle, that was, I think, really where a lot of this started to go.
Yeah, it feels to me like, particularly on the heels of the lawsuit, that it's always kind of felt like this to some degree, that there were black jobs. And this is something that I've joked about with people all the time, is when a situation is bad, that's a black job. Like, we're going to bring in this guy, and it, not only does he kind of keep the seat warm until you get to the head coach or the team that you actually want, but he also checks these boxes that makes the league look good. So it's kind of comical that on the heels of the lawsuit from Brian Flores, that next they start bringing in people who are checking these boxes. But it also makes me think that I'm sure that the team owners aren't dumb enough to like send emails or texts or collude in this way. But it also kind of feels like there was a wink and a nod, like, hey, we got to do something about this. Go ahead and fill them up. And
for the audience, Dominique is winking.
Yes, and he's nodding.
He's winking in Josh McCown.
Well, let's talk about Josh McCown, right? So Alabaster has segued us to the next topic, which is the Lovey Smith thing, as you guys have been saying. And Josh McCown was the name that everyone. By the way, I love Josh McCown as a dude.
Yeah, everybody does.
He's just fun to talk to. He's clearly smart. He's a future coach. But the block is too hot for Josh McCown right now, Dominique, is the vibe, is the memo that's gone out.
Yeah, the block will never cool down for Josh McCown. And, like, everyone who knows him loves him. I am in one of those people also.
Yes.
But the idea that you could go from not being a coach in the NFL at all to being a head coach in the NFL does not, to me, like, on its face, seem absurd. Like, I think it's possible that it can be done. But starting it now, like doing that, setting that precedent now seems like it's ridiculous. So we all act like it can't be done, but then we watch the teams go outside of the traditional pipeline and hire guys who do not have all the experience. So I'm not one who's going to argue that Josh McCown can't do it or won't be good at this job. Yep. I'm sure he can. And I believe in him. I hope at some point he gets to do it. And I hope that he gets to skip right over all this other BS that they have to do in between. But right now, as you mentioned, the block is too hot. And Josh is going to become a symbol that I'm sure that he does not want and be associated with things that I'm sure he doesn't want to be associated with. So even if they sent me an offer, if I'm Josh, for lots and lots of money, I'm saying nah. Because you're not going to have my face all across all these posters next time someone charges the Capitol building because what they think I represent. No thanks.
Yes, don't make me a cause is what I would be thinking to myself if I'm Josh McCown. And I think Josh McCown, by the way, Gojo, does feel that way. He's remarkably like level. I mean, again, he's just not. That's where the caricature of him. Dominique is totally right. Like, just don't step into this news cycle. Right now,
yeah. I mean, given the way he looks too, is like he would be an incredible poster child for a group of people who he vehemently disagrees with. Is my guess. I mean, I can't get into his heart or mind, but based on my limited conversations with Josh McCown, that ain't his crew.
Yeah, he has big, like, Sonic Boom aesthetics. You know, he's like, you know.
You talking about Guile?
He's like a little Guile, just visually. Kind of looks like Guile, you know?
That's awesome, actually. He does kind of Sonic Boom.
Sonic Boom. I mean, Gojo.
No Street Fighter in your background, Gojo?
Yeah, what are you, Mortal Kombat?
No, I was more of a Tekken guy, but.
Yeah, you're young.
Yeah, they had it at the Peter Piper's I used to frequent in Scottsdale, Arizona. So, yeah, it's Peter Piper. It's the pizza people pick.
Are you guys, Gojo, are you familiar with Josh McCown's highlight reel, though? Dominic, you are, presumably?
Yeah, of course.
Are you talking about the hair flip one?
Oh, no.
You're talking.
Does he have a hoops highlight reel?
Yeah.
He is the greatest in-game dunker I've seen among NFL players, maybe?
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Yeah.
Oh God.
I mean,
Josh Yakum McCown.
My God. Look at this man. Yes.
Oh.
Look at this move.
Oh God.
I do want to say that you love to go to show my phone on the screen.
Yeah.
I can't wait until you get inappropriate text. Like that's all I want. You do it every week.
My reservation at Father Time. Or Father Time is popping the calendar
every week, and I just can't wait for somebody to text you, and it just come up, and then the whole world reads whatever embarrassing alert that you have.
Are you guys at peace with the Gmail hack, by the way? That's my only defense. It's like, guys, at some point we're all gonna be hacked. It's all gonna be equally embarrassing, right? Yeah.
We all should just do it now. Just all post our duties.
Radical transparency. Yep.
Oh my God, man! Does it feel like Josh McCown now after seeing that? If I had seen that, I had not internalized it. He looks like he plays basketball the way all of us imagine Joe Burrow does. Like, I've never seen Joe Burrow play basketball, but based on our read of him, like, we all assume Joe's going out there and giving a work like that.
Oh, man. Yes. I've seen Joe shoot. I think Joe can shoot pretty well, which, I mean, without his post-game personality, we would have assumed that he could shoot. But the ball is different.
Depending on which post-game personality, depending on which group in the locker room he's celebrating with.
Right.
Yeah, we don't know if he's a distributor, if he's a screen setter, or if he's the crossover king. He can give you both because he is the crossover king, apparently.
Well put, Alabaster.
Uh-huh. Who? Mike Jones. I think I'm done. I don't know. I was leaving some dead air for my guys.
We made it. I think we survived the topics.
Yeah. I feel good. If you had been around the pre-show meeting, after 22 years of or 24 years of living in Connecticut, I finally gave in to like the whitest, most northeastern parts of my heart. Now every kid I ever met at a Dave Matthews Band concert in the summers in Connecticut chanting "Bring back the Whalers" can stand up and have a hero. I have become the poster for that I fought for so long.
You're identifying finally as a Connecticut resident, Gojo. Congratulations. Yes,
finally. You only do it when it's convenient. You're in Connecticut now. I've never seen you wear that Whalers hat outside of Connecticut. Get out on these streets with that Whalers hat.
Let me head out to the Super Bowl stuff going on in LA right now, and I promise you here.
Oh yeah, he's switching off.
All right, guys.
Yo, if you're making it out here, bring those salts.
What are the chances?
Bring those salts to LA. Anyway, yeah.
All right, first one. What are the chances Caris LeVert makes the Cavs the best team in the East?
The best team in the East? Zero. I didn't know we were going the best team in the East. I thought you were going to say something like get to the second round or get to the conference finals. Like, you're talking best team in the East? It is zero. Zero. Zero, zero.
Yeah. Gojo, do you want to go ahead here? Because I'm...
I'll go 0.0. I will add a couple of more zeros to this equation here. Because, nah, man, like, I mean, this has been a great story. And for fans in Cleveland, like, God, man, after what the football team did to you once expectations became a thing this year, the basketball team has been a revelation once again, coming back to save everybody's ass out there as they try and keep the flats up there revitalized and whatnot. So, no, this isn't going to happen. This isn't an expectation in Cleveland that anyone needs to subscribe to either. Value your own happiness, understand that your best days are behind you, but that you still got to live them, and then enjoy whatever this moment is for here. It's called growing up, everybody. We all peak at some point.
You know, it's a great point about expectations. So, Alabaster, I'm going to coast off of that and just do 0.00.
Thank you.
Can give me that.
Thank you.
And look, tip of the cap, though, to what the Cavs have done, because they have the best point differential in the East. They are so much better than anybody thought, myself included. What they have in Evan Mobley is a guy who is a generational kind of special player.
That
he's
dude,
a future franchise player. He is 7 feet tall. He is a guard. They are 33-21 with him, and Ricky Rubio has gotten hurt, but they're 33-21, just a game behind the Heat for first place in the East. I just think there is, and maybe, honestly, I'll even say it this way, right? Do I believe that the Sixers are better than the Cavs? Yes. Do I think the Bucks are better than the Cavs? Yes. Do I think the Heat are better than the Cavs? Yes. I also think the Cavs are fighting the uphill battle of, like, you're the Cavs.
Yeah.
So let's just take it 1 month at a time.
I mean, I don't want to get too down on the Cavs, so I'll be positive. Yes,
great.
Let's enjoy this. The question set us up in order to be down on them. We needed something else to be more positive, but I will throw this out here. Are we sure that he makes them better? Like, I don't even know that is an actual, like, he makes them more talented. I'm not sure, and not that I'm some sort of basketball analyst. I'm not by any stretch, but I never thought as Caris LeVert as, like, some distributing ball, like
so
I don't know, like, make
Dominic
your teammates better type of guy. Like, he feels like a guy who wants, he has the attitude of a James Harden, let me cook, when he is much more talented than the average player, but not quite James Harden peak ability.
No,
he's 7 seed James Harden.
Right.
Wow.
So, like,
I mean,
he's
averaging 19 a game, 4.4 assists.
Don't do that.
I mean, just some facts about Caris LeVert,
those are facts about him.
Why are you
daring
me to be mean to Caris?
I'm not daring you to be mean. Those are important facts, however, but we understand that points per game at this day and age is not a super useful way to, like, evaluate someone's fit on a roster or their impact on a team. So, I'm sorry. 33% from three, like, whoo.
Yeah, he's just like an okay. He's like okay in terms of efficiency, 44% or so from the field. And there is, there's the Cavs thing of, like, let's just pump the brakes. And there's also just like the Caris LeVert thing of, like, are we really thinking of him like this now? Which is a thing, a thought that I've had myself. Apologies to you, Caris LeVert, and apologies to a team that is like a great story that Alabaster has now officially Gojo tricked us into crapping all over. Dominique's right. That's what happened.
We got Miyagi just beating up on the Cavs for a segment here. Like, they were doing nothing wrong. I have no idea.
Let's change it. Let's be positive.
Kind of outsized expectations.
Let's be positive.
What's the chances that the Caris LeVert to the Cavs makes them a fun time in the playoffs?
There we go.
Ooh,
100%. There we go. Change it.
Time.
Change it. 100% for everybody.
Yes. Cross out best. Put in fun, and then add a one and many zeros in front of everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 Wait, wait, wait. No, we got cross out best.
Yeah.
Thank you. I mean, Cleveland, come on, that's ridiculous.
Rocks. If it does... Cleveland rocks.
Yes. Yes.
Number one Cleveland internet show on planet Earth. Welcome to Debatable.
Welcome to Cleveland today.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Let's all say all the things we know about Cleveland.
Those guardian statues, apparently.
Yes, and their baseball team, which is appropriately named, finally.
Yeah, love it.
If
fun,
any city
fun
in the U.S. could appropriately and I think willingly accept Father Time, it is Cleveland.
What's up, Alabaster?
Yeah, what do you
so,
want?
So,
what do you want?
Well, you guys did sort of, you know, crap on the question of if this could make them the best team in the East. It's more of a question about the East because the East is terrible and none of those teams are good. The Bucks seem incomplete. The Sixers seem incomplete. The Nets are imploding.
Okay.
And the Cavs are loaded. And
okay.
Evan Mobley is one of the top 20 guys in the league now as a rookie.
Okay, first of all, we didn't crap on the question. We fixed the question. If you want to put it back up, you can see that we fixed the question. You're welcome. Second of all, yes, the East is not the best. But
you know what it is? You know what it is, Dominique? It's fun.
It is fun. But is anybody realistically going to pick the Cavs to beat any of those top three teams, like, in a real series? Like, there would have to be some sort of horrible, horrible rash of injuries that
hit
everybody.
Which happened to the Nets last year.
Okay.
One team. All three of them are hurt already again.
Alabaster. Like, this is the NBA.
That's the 7-2 matchup right now.
You drew us back in to trying to hate on the Cavs. Not doing
See,
it.
See, I'm just
fun.
Saying, you're going to make me 100%, do this.
100% yeah. Fun. They are going to be Hundo Fundo. That's their new team name. The Hundo Fundo Cavs.
This is going to be a great nickname historically when they go on this run that Alabaster is talking about and win the title. You guys remember the Hundo Fundo Cavs in 2022?
I can't wait for this clip to be played back in our faces when the Cavs win the title and Alabaster takes his victory lap.
Or just beat the Nets. All right, moving on.
Neither is going to happen.
Yeah, probably not, but, you know, figured I'd stick up for it. Anyway, moving on. Second topic. This one's, was not in the rundown. We're going on the fly with this one. But Kyler Murray has scrubbed.
You guys ran out of material.
He scrubbed the Cardinals from all of his social media. Doesn't follow the Cardinals anymore.
Love it.
Took all the pictures of the Cardinals gone. It's not in his bio. And our question is, what are the chances the Cardinals should be worried about Kyler Murray's social media activity?
100%. Let's just be honest about something, right? You don't do this accidentally. And so the question merely is why.
Yeah.
And maybe the why doesn't get answered with he's demanding a trade. But yes, you got to look into this because this is our public face to the world. Like, all of these stories about this stuff, yes, something is being gestured by the act of doing it and deleting those things.
Yeah, I got to go with you 100%. Like, there's no cost for you there's no benefit to not be worried. Like, this is a concerning thing. This is an intentional message that he is sending. And maybe he has someone who runs his social media who he told to go do this, which in that case, maybe we'll take it down a little bit to like 98%. But if he actively went and did this his damn self, like that, I'd say that the next thing is a trade demand, because to sit there and go through all your pictures and take out old Cardinals related things and unfollow them on all social, like that's saying something.
I have been so broken by the modern age that the first thing my can go to this is Kyler Murray is going to be a part of some elaborate Super Bowl style ad campaign where he's like, guys, this offseason, I'm switching teams and coming over here to Subway. Like, it's the last Subway commercial on the arc. This is going to be, this is like the Christmas Great story point. When at the end it's drink your Ovaltine. Like, that is what we're going to get out of this. I see very few logical reasons other than maybe the Cliff Kingsbury late season collapse things that we could argue, like, you've got a top five receiver in the NFL to throw to, a defense that improved a lot this year, an O-line that's probably going to get some of the help. We're about to get got, and I am not going to beeline
it. You saved us. You saved us. We're not going to get got. 0%. Switch me out.
Yeah, I'm out too.
Zero.
This is 100% a marketing scam that I fell for. Thank you, Gojo, for being younger and smarter than me.
Gojo, you're right. They're going to unveil the Kyler Murray Heisman. I mean, they used to do this for the Heisman guys, didn't they? A bust made of meat.
I don't know, that's a good call.
Did Kyler ever get his meat bust? I don't think he did.
Don't act like you don't know about the Heisman.
Come on!
I mean, come on, man.
You are Mr. Heisman. Those damn Heisman jeans.
Oh, yeah.
Meat bust? Like, you're not even being coy.
Guys,
about
I got
it
bad
anymore.
News. Googling meat bust does not end well.
Oh, man. Now you can call back to your first segment strip club joke. You could have, but I ruined it.
There are just meat busts positioned around.
Look at him.
By the way, that guy is for sure the guy you see when you walk into Father Time.
Of course.
They got a spot. I got a rack for you to hang those jeans when you walk into Father Time and exchange them for a pair of sweatpants.
Oh gosh. Oh man. I like you standing at the door and people are leaving. No re-entry. Just so you know, there's no re-entry. Oh man. I hate your jeans.
I'm gonna get a tattoo of a wristwatch where instead of now it just says father on it.
it's always father.
Call back to Friday's show. If you haven't watched it, guys, our audience, it was a fun time. Go figure out what we just talked about.
Yeah. The callback king, Pablo, he reigns supreme.
All right, guys, we got one more. What are the chances?
Oh, wow.
What are the chances?
I was vamping because I thought for sure you guys had run out of stuff.
Nah.
What are the chances the NFL should get rid of the Pro Bowl?
Oh, they ran out of stuff, guys. Here we are.
Should or will? Like, I don't think they will because I haven't looked at the ratings.
Typo by me.
Yeah. I haven't looked at the ratings, but it always does well compared to everything else. So I don't think they will get rid of it. Like, the display, they don't even tackle. Like, not that they should, but it doesn't look like football. It's not particularly fun or entertaining. Like, they need to figure out some sort of way to make it a little bit more fun and engaging, but I guess not. People are watching it.
Yeah, I mean, you put a football on a table and it draws like 3 million people, right? Like, it's just like an object. It's like football.
We do need to start whittling it down to see what we could get away with.
That's what yes.
Like, if 100%. You're the NFL, I'm pushing the limits just to see what we'll come crawling back to.
Just a slideshow of logos.
With just the NFL Films music in the background.
Yes.
Oh no, you just do the scene that pops up after the NFL red zone is over. Where it's just thanks. We'll see you next time with the music playing in the background and like faint embers of Scott Hansen. That's all you get.
Oh gosh. Yeah, that was is there a way? So like they have the skills challenges, but like there is no way. Because everyone's tried to fix the Pro Bowl. Like, there's no way to do this in a way that works.
Dodgeball is the best thing I've seen out of Pro Bowl weekend, honestly.
Right.
And I don't know how – can you just swap it out?
I guess my point is it's clearly the game of football that draws attention, even if they are, like, pretending to play football in some way. So I think that they need to go more the Nickelodeon route because they need to lean in on the fact that this is a joke game. And not try to make it seem like a real game. Because right now, it feels like a real game. And the best part of the game was Mac Jones running, even though he was whistled down all the way to the end zone and then doing abbreviated gritty. Like, that was the best part of the game. So the way – however they can infuse more of that. Also, Diggs versus Diggs was fun. Like, just make it a whole big, long gimmick. And one of my friends texted me and said, easiest money I ever made, because apparently he bet on the over. And I was like, you can gamble on this? They're letting people bet on this? It seems absurd.
Yeah, that feels like the most compromisable of all the games that you could bet on is the Pro Bowl. Remember they had Jeff Saturday hike the ball to Peyton Manning one year when he was playing for the NFC? And just wore a totally different jersey. And everyone was like, sure, this happens in our very real game. It was cute, though.
I will say this, because to Dominique's point, the tough part with what I'm about to propose is it's not technically a football game. And I understand that's what people come for. But
it does test the limits of what the NFL can get away with, correct?
But at the same time, if people's gripe is you want to see these guys actually go out and compete, the solution has always been very simple. You let them play basketball.
Yes.
If you let a group of NFL players go out there and play five-on-five basketball, NFC versus AFC, there is, and Dominique can speak to this, there is nothing more discussed in a football locker room than who is better than at basketball. I mean, the Notre Dame football team used to routinely sit around and say they could concoct a starting five that could beat our men's scholarship basketball team who was brought here to do that one specific thing. So if you let these guys go out there and play hoops, you'll get games. We can bring Josh McCown back to coach one of those teams, and it won't be probably in any way there. It'll just be fun when he comes off the bench and laces him up with everybody. Everybody wins at this model.
Except it still like raises the level of injury higher than if they actually played a real football game.
but no one will notice because it's basketball. It's less violent.
That's fair. The way that basketball players – yeah, they just have to do that the whole time. The way that football players play basketball is – the way you would think football players play basketball. Like, they are skilled and talented because they are supreme athletes, but they are also physical as hell. Anytime we would play basketball at the rec when I was in Maryland or something like that, or when we were football players in Denver, we'd go and play basketball. It was quite a violent affair. We could only play against each other because all the normies out there would get upset. But I got a text that really sucks all the fun out of all the fun. But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you're reading your phone, and I'm distracted from what I want to do, which is point out that we once played 21, me and Dominique Foxworth, and we were at 21 for like an hour because we had met an athletic stalemate. So I agree, it's very hard to play against football players and very impressive when you can do it.
I'm not even going to delve into what actually happened in that game, but sure, just good. Facts. Remember it the way that you want to remember it, okay? Not even going to talk about how I hit a game winder while not looking at the hoop. Okay, got it.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh,
all right, guys, we got one quote here. We're going to do one whodunit to close you guys out. Dominique, this will cheer you up.
Yeah, that does cheer me up.
Man.
Twisted steel.
Good, good peaks on those.
And sex appeal.
A good silhouette. That
looks like Ravishing Rick Rude.
All right, guys, here's the quote. You did not win a Super Bowl letting Russ cook, and you have not been anywhere close to a Super Bowl letting Russ cook. You will not be close to a Super Bowl if you let him throw it 30 to 40 times a game. And your choices are A, Mina Kimes, B, Marshawn Lynch, C, Richard Sherman, or D, Pete Carroll.
It seems obvious to me.
Love that all of these are candidates. great group, great bracket. Okay, wait, Dominique, who do you think is why? What's
I mean, it's Richard Sherman. Like, it has to be Richard Sherman. Like, Marshawn Lynch would never say anything like that. Pete Carroll obviously would not say about the quarterback that's still on his team. Mina Kimes would definitely not say anything like that.
No.
I mean, it seems obvious that Richard Sherman's the only one that would say something like that. That is also full of facts.
Yeah, and people were like, let Russ cook. You did not win a Super Bowl letting Russ cook. You have not been anywhere close to a Super Bowl letting Russ cook. You will not be close to a Super Bowl if you let him throw it 30, 40 times a game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love that Richard Sherman in no way gives a crap about Russell Wilson's feelings, which has been the case for the entire time. I think they have been in the league together.
I mean, you think Richard Sherman doesn't care about the feelings of a guy that the organization chose over him? I'm shocked.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's going back to that time, like, we do elevate Russ because he went to two Super Bowls and won the first one. But I wrote a piece on Richard Sherman before last year's draft, which required me to go, like, interview Richard a bunch, but also, like, look back at the numbers from back then. Yeah. Russ was a game manager, guys. Like, he was a game manager who developed into something more and is one of the best quarterbacks in football. And I disagree with him in the idea that you can't win a Super Bowl with Russell to play in the way he is. I think you could, but the facts are you have it. And when they let him cook towards the end of the season, it seems that he fades regularly. So I don't know what to make of this other than God bless Richard Sherman and give him more microphones.
Wait, can we play the game, Gojo, of like how does Russell Wilson fit into our list of the best quarterbacks right now? Just like an honest question. Where is he? Because there are so many new
guys.
He was
in the Pro Bowl, so that means he's great.
Yeah. Like I say, I need no other rebuttal than that.
I was shocked, honestly, when I flipped through the channels and I was like, hey, Russell's in the Pro Bowl?
Kirk Cousins was there too.
I didn't stay long enough to see that.
I mean, I didn't watch any of it. I heard this all secondhand from Twitter.
Is that the most embarrassing thing, like to admit that you watched the Pro Bowl? Because clearly millions of people watch it, but I can't find anyone who says that they watch it. Even me. I was like, yeah, I just flipped through the channels. I don't want to be framed as a Pro Bowl watcher, but clearly lots of us do.
It's the Big Bang Theory of sporting events. It's like clearly lots of people watch it, but nobody wants to actually be that guy who watches it.
Perfect.
That is true. No, I can say it makes a lot of money. It's all right, there.
Pablo, give us your list. How many quarterbacks you go through before you get
the
Russell?
I think we get to like 10.
Wow.
I mean, seriously, 10? Though. So Tom Brady is gone. Let's just give the list of this past season, right? So Brady, Rodgers, and this is in no particular order, but just I think you'll all agree. Justin Herbert, right? Joe Burrow, Mahomes, obviously. Josh Allen, Kyler. Are we saying Kyler? I think we say Kyler. Matthew Stafford, right? Dak, Lamar.
Nope.
Are we saying Derek Carr.
No, thank you to Carr. No, thank you to Kyler. No, thank you to Stafford.
So eight. He's eighth. Is that what you're saying?
Maybe. Yeah. I guess I'll go with eighth. I think Lamar. If we're going to just last season. Then Lamar, I say no thank you to Lamar too, but Lamar was MVP caliber. Yeah, I'll leave Lamar ahead of him right now. Yeah, so I guess 10 is a stretch.
Yeah, I would say comfortably after, like, again, if you're going to lump Brady in, it's Brady, Rodgers, Mahomes, Josh Allen, Herbert, and then Burrow. Once you get past that, then I can make an argument for Russ against pretty much everyone else. It is a weaker argument after last year where he was objectively, and we all talked about this in real time, like he was objectively not good. Like there were parts of that year where we had always made excuses for him where he was part of the reason they were not winning games based on how careless he was with the football. So that was reality last year. I think perception and reality always get kind of cloudy with Russ because he did have that one season from the pocket where he did cook his ass off and people wanted to always forget about that. So we brought it up a lot. Now it's kind of being balanced out.
Alabaster, are you proud of us? We just ranked quarterbacks.
That was the most tepid embrace of debatable ever, but I'm very proud of you. Logically broke it down and then all agreed.
Anus freedom, guys. Anus freedom.
All right, and that's the show.
Oh no! That was what the text is about.
Yeah, anus freedom.
It's gonna be a great song.
Speaking at CPAC. Freedom, formerly known as Cantor.
That fall from grace.
Just get the music up. I don't know.
We're really limping out of this thing right now.
Yep, it's my fault.
I gotta bring the salt. It's time for the salts, baby.
Yes,
salt it up.
Go out the way you came in.
Kill those brain cells. It'll make everything more palatable.
There ain't many left here.
Gojo. Bring the salts to LA. I'm out here too.
They want the salts.
Yeah.
It's a different powder.
Oh.
I can't understand you, but it sounds like you're talking about drugs.